Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Today's it. Oh my god. One of those days. Today's magazine is full as fuck. Bullet number one, I'm triggered by military bro Instagram star workout videos. Am I being a little bitch? Bullet number two, an update from last week. A sailor who was on board the USS Fitzgerald when it was involved in a collision joins us to correct the record from last week. Too long, didn't read. Shut the fuck up about the piss bottles and the kettlebells. Bullet number three, there's a football player who waves aloha to the haters who are butthurt about him leaving the Naval Academy for Notre Dame because he has a potential shot at the NFL. Bullet number four, Steve Carell, the minds behind The Office, are launching a new show, Space Force. Think I'm going to break down a black hole when this one comes out?
That's what she said.
I had such a lovely morning because my daughter had to go to a doctor's appointment. That wasn't the reason why it was lovely. But my wife brought her home from the doctor's appointment, and I got to bring her to school. And it was like the gods were playing volleyball and just set me up with a beautiful little bump set, and I could come in with the spike. I was going through the serious dial, and wouldn't you know it, when I was about 90 seconds away from pulling into her middle school with people standing outside and getting ready to go in the classes, Kansas's lovely tune, Carry On Your Wayward Son, came on. So I took the Bose
great song, speaker, great song.
I took the Bose speakers that are in my wife's Tahoe, put them bitches on like 95%, rolled down all the windows so she's getting out of her car while it is blaring, dude, blaring.
But were there even kids outside because school had already started?
Yeah, they're outside in between periods. So there's kinds of kids outside. They looked over to see what this music was. My daughter's red hair was soon matched by her face of being red as hell. And I cackled, dude. Straight up cackled, chipmunk driving, all the windows down. I'm cruising down the road so happy. It put a little pep in my step. And then I got the chance to fucking cuck the UPS driver because he was parked in front of my house when I pulled in. And I gave him, he was a UPS driver, but he was in a U-Haul truck for some reason. Mm-hmm. So the U-Haul truck was parked in front of my house. So I get out, slam the door, and just look at him. I said, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, sorry, I'm an Amazon driver, just delivered. I felt like a big swinging dick right before Zero Block 30 starts.
What
energy is high. I am ready. Round number one. Let's go. Do you even lift, Sergeant? So I've been going back to the gym, and I think all of us have. Kate, you fell off the wagon a little bit, right?
I'm fully off now. I'm done.
Get back on the wagon, Catherine.
How are we doing with these New Year's resolutions in general, folks?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing terrible. I'm smoking. I'm drinking. I'm not at the gym.
You know, it's interesting. I saw something this morning. We're recording this on Thursday the 17th. I saw something that the 17th is typically the day when most people quit on their resolutions.
Well, I re-upped my resolution because we've been a member at the YMCA for a while. And one of the biggest issues is because, I mean, surely like everybody else who's listening to a cube or driving around, doing whatever you're doing for your job, everybody's busy. My YMCA membership place is like 20 minutes away, and that's with no traffic. So once there is traffic in the morning, it takes me forever to get there, forever. Mm-hmm. And so then my 1 hour trip to the gym turns into a 2 hour fiasco. I don't have time for that shit during the day. So I went and joined another gym that's like 30 seconds away from my front door, basically. It's right there. It's a 24 hour op, like access with a key card. You can get in, do whatever you want to.
That's awesome.
7:15. I was out of there by 8 o'clock, back in my chair, getting ready to go to the blogging factory. And because I mentioned all this, because I've been scrolling through. I think whenever you get back into workout mind, I'm probably like everybody else where you scroll through and either you find a new workout plan that you really like that you want to get into. You go on Pinterest, you see different things on. I might try some butt lifter workouts that I've been on Instagram. But because I look for videos to post for Zero Block 30 a lot of my curated content on Instagram will be military stuff. So military stuff with exercise, you get some douchebags. Douchebags. Big time. You know some of the people that I'm talking about?
I mean, not specific. I know the type of person you're talking about, but I'll allow you to elaborate. But they're certainly an interesting breed.
It's just some of the stuff that they do is so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I hate it the most because without fail, their captions are just doing some functional fitness, bro. Like, motherfucker, you're taking a Phillips head screwdriver and turning a boulder into sand. That's not functional.
You're not a caveman. No, we have tools for that these days.
It's like doing stuff, man. Make sure that your lifestyle matches your fitness because you want to be functional. Bitch, I'm not chopping up a whole tree with a fucking axe. I'm not doing it. I live in Texas. I have central heat. I don't need to do all that stuff.
I'm a huge piece of shit, and I'm still functioning. So, you know?
Yeah, functional. What does that even mean? Like, there's all these people, and I imagine, go back. I want a little time machine. A little time machine in your head, Kate. There's somebody in the gym. First of all, being in boots and utes in military gyms, I think is really frowned upon. Nobody likes those people.
No,
right?
No, those are the people that are like, oh man, got to get my lift in at lunchtime. And they're just littered all over the gym. But yeah, I'm with you. Those people trigger me.
Kate, did you go to the gym, like the actual gym whenever you were in the Marine Corps?
Fuck no.
I didn't want to put it on the record, but I figured the answer was no. But whenever you would go into the gym, there would be people in, you don't like the boots and utes people in the gym, but these functional fitness people, they're not only in boots and utes, but now they're fucking videotaping themselves. And yeah. I'm in the content biz, peeps. Like, I know that, like, videoing yourself in public, you look like a douchebag. Mm-hmm. Every time you have a camera on you or somebody has a cell phone and they're filming you do something, deep in your mind, you're self-conscious about other people watching you. I cannot imagine the level of douchebaggery that's deep within your soul if you're on a military installation asking people to videotape you while you're doing flex arm hangs and doing crunches and throwing your legs through the moon and doing all these different types of CrossFit fucking get out of town.
You're absolutely right, because anytime I'm in the gym, I am always so afraid, damn it, I'm going to do something that is going to land me on Twitter or Instagram and a million people are going to be laughing at me. Just the other day, I forgot athletic socks. So I had to wear my socks that I wore all day and they were purple. So I was trying to get in and out as fast as I could so no one saw that I was wearing purple socks.
You have shame. And then on the complete other end of the spectrum, there's people with like none. I will say I don't like gym shaming. But
I told you guys this the other day. I'm over that. You know, if you want to be in the gym, however you want to be there, doing whatever you want to do, people should not feel uncomfortable to be in the gym.
Oh, not me. I'm all in on gym shaming. If somebody's I won't post their face, but I will post their actions. Now, I won't do it for somebody who's a fat body. At the civilian gym, I won't do it for a fat body. If you're a big old muscle dude with spaghetti shirt, tank top, oh, my friend. You are going to be on my Instagram account, my Twitter account.
Yes.
Account that I can get.
I should clarify. Bolivia. People who are in the gym who legitimately are just trying to get better and they're not necessarily trying to be a hardo, I will never shame them. People like you just mentioned, Chaps, who have ridiculous outfits or who are doing ridiculous, quote unquote, functional workouts. Yes, I have no problem shaming them. Because you have to know, everybody in the gym has their phone. You have to know that somebody is going to take a picture of you or a video of you and share it with their friends and just completely eviscerate you to no end. So I don't know how you do those sorts of things.
Yeah, you know what? Let your freak flag fly. I say, be a vet bro in the gym. Crunch that log. Do what you got to do. I'm here for it. I don't mind watching those silkies flap around.
Oh, okay. Fornicates in the building. Good God almighty.
Heyo.
Oh my goodness. So I wouldn't post somebody's face if they were out of shape and getting in shape. Mm-hmm. I will post your face, however, and listen, all you active duty bubbas out there, if you have a bad barracks cut, this is going to be new ZBT policy. Your face going on the account, and mm-hmm. I will not take it down. Ever. That is a promise. If there's a bad barracks cut, it's going up. If you're being douchey gym bro, vet guy in boots and utes, it's going up. If you're not in boots and utes, not going to post it. If you are in Boots and Utes, because I don't like that shit. It's going up and it will not come down. That is a solitary promise from Zero Blog 30.
Chaps, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Well, no, I'm proud of you for that, but also I'm proud of you for joining the other gym and eliminating that excuse, because so often I think the biggest excuse people use to go to the gym is the time element. And when you factor in travel plus the time spent at the gym, you make sort of all these excuses in your head as to why you're not going to the gym. So I'm very proud of you that you made it easier for yourself to not make excuses and not want.
And you guys will also be proud of me that I stuck to my promise, because when I walked into the new gym for the first time, they had this big blackboard up there that said that the workout of the day, it's not a CrossFit gym. Don't worry, everyone. I'm not going to be that moto about it. It's not a CrossFit gym at all. But the workout of the day was the half Murph, which is running and doing all these things. I looked at the sign, stared it right in the face and said, I will never run.
Good
promise that I have made, and is a promise that I will keep. Another promise that we will keep is we're going to move on to round two. Last week we talked about the USS Fitzgerald, and there was a scathing report that came out that some of the officers in charge, the senior enlisted personnel, made some mistakes. Well, we got contacted by a sailor who was actually on the ship for whenever this happened, and there was things that he told us in the messages that we didn't think about. So this is my promise to you. If we talk about a story on Zero Blog 30 and you were involved in it, or you know people who are involved with it and you want to correct the record, we will 1,000% give you the opportunity. And like this sailor who's about to come on, your name will remain private. If you're on active duty and you want to come on the show, I and none of us on the team will ever tell any chain of command what the fuck your name is. Because guess what, folks? This time we are real life journalists. Here's a sailor from the USS Fitzgerald. I gotta say, I fucking crushed that. That was
excellent.
That was good.
All right, so now on Zero Blog 30, and this is something that I want to try to do. If you listen to one of our segments and we discuss something that is going on in the active duty military and you are involved in that incident, by all means, reach out to us. And if we get it wrong, we will bring you on the show to correct it, because I think that's important. We have a sailor who was on the USS Fitzgerald whenever the incident happened. Can you kind of walk us through why this, because you were pretty upset, man, when you hopped into our when you hopped into the DMs on Instagram. You're a little upset.
Yeah, I was pretty fired up. So basically I saw this new probe that came out, and got me obviously pretty fired up, and I know I'm not alone and feeling fired up here. I saw a lot of my friends sharing the article. They were talking more. Obviously, there's big issues, but they were really highlighting piss bottles and kettlebells and trash it was Combat Information Center, but CIC for short, or combat, you know, whichever one. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous that the report really highlighted on the trash, because, you know, like I said in the DM there, it's absolutely ridiculous for them to highlight that, because to get hit by a ship that's three times the size of you, just to kind of put into perspective, DDGs are about 500 feet long. So for a ship to be three times that size to hit you, it's not really like a little love tap. It's a pretty violent collision.
So when you're inside and the other ship hit you, what happened?
A little bit. So before that, you know, I was working. I was awake at the time. Happened at 1:30 in the morning. And, you know, just kind of doing my thing, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I could feel the ship, you know, speed up. You know, you could hear the engines really start to kick in, and then we started to turn really heavily. It was one of those things where a gut feeling just kind of kicked in, and, you know, right away I knew something was wrong. And before I could fully process that feeling, we got nailed. We didn't really get a warning. The collision alarm didn't go off. It was just boom, all of a sudden. Yeah. We went to general quarters. For anybody that doesn't know what general quarters is, it's battle stations, I guess. So you get assigned to go to a specific spot on the ship, whether it be into a repair locker, which is where all the damage control equipment is held, such as like firefighting gear, anything to, you know, go at flooding, toxic gas, anything of that nature. So we immediately knew that we had to get to
how long spots. Do you have to get there whenever that that alarm or that sound goes off, how long do you have to get there?
Well, when the general quarter alarm goes off, you know, it's some real shit going on. So you kind of get there as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Cause you do training and stuff and you kind of prepare for things like, you know, so I don't want to say like that happening cause nobody thinks that's going to happen. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of prepare for these things, but once these things actually happen, it's just adrenaline starts kicking in and, you know, everyone's running all over the place. And it was chaos at the time. I'm sure everybody can imagine.
Right.
But we were at general quarters for, let's see, it happened at 1:30 in the morning. We didn't pull back into our home port because luckily we weren't that far from our home port when it happened. So we were able to get pulled back to our home port, pulled by tugboats back. But we didn't get back until, I think it was like 7 or 8 at night. So we were actively fighting the flooding for, almost 18 hours. But it felt like
whenever, sir, I've never been on a ship, neither has Cons or Kate. What does it look like whenever you're fighting? Are you like fucking Gilligan's Island with buckets and shit, like getting it off, or what are you doing?
Well, there's pumps that we have, and you know the pumps they it's not meant to control flooding that big, but one thing that they did for us to kind of keep us busy is they made like a bucket brigade where we had people go down into a space and create a line that went all the way down a couple decks below and just toss buckets. So I guess there really was
it's like Gilligan's Island. Yeah.
But you know, that was more so just to keep us busy. But luckily the watertight hatches and doors really, did what they were supposed to do. And they kept the ship from sinking.
So when did you guys know that you had lost sailors from what happened?
So a word got around the ship because when you go to general quarters and something serious like that is happening, they start to muster people and especially in like the repair lockers, you have muster reports and they call out everybody's name. So if you're missing people, they're going to know about it. And like I said, everybody has their own spot that they go to, when something like this happens. And if somebody doesn't show up, then, that kind of, raises some red flags there. So, it came out, 1, 2, 3, next thing you know, we're missing 7 people. And when something, a DG, the crew is, roughly like 300 people. Yeah, that's not a lot of people at all. You get to know people and it's, it really had an impact on all of us and still is, it's really still impacting all of us today.
And how many people were on the Fitzgerald?
I'd say it's probably somewhere 300, a little more than that.
Oh, so that's really small. Like that's not, yeah. That's like company size for Marines. Like that's a really, yeah. So basically everybody on the ship for the most part, at least in passing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly it. You get to know everybody, at least in passing. It's just a big family environment. For me, I ate breakfast with, FCC Ream. He got promoted after he passed. So Chief Ream. I had breakfast with him every single day when we were out to sea. So it was tough.
As something that's that small of a community on a ship that size, whenever you see the report like that, it probably makes it even a little more personal, right? Because they put in the blame on places that it shouldn't be. Is that, that's kind of what I got from your DMs.
The initial report, it took me a long time to actually muster up the guts to read it because it just kind of brings everything back and brings back a lot of things that I don't really want to have to think about. But it's what's frustrating is they're putting the blame on, one person or a few different people. And, they're focusing in on things that really don't matter all that much. And, there's bigger issues within the Navy that led up to this that people don't really want to talk about. I know you guys recently talked about sleep and, I think the carriers are starting to implement mandatory sleep schedules. That really kind of,
which is bananas that it took till 2019 to figure that out. Like that's insane.
Right. Right. And also that, 17 people between the Fitzgerald and the McCain, that's when they also kind of open their eyes and like, oh shit, we should probably take a deeper look into this. Sleep is the big thing because that we had just pulled out of our home port the I guess technically the day before, because we pulled back in a few days before, just did a few minor repairs, and then we get ready to pull out on June 16th. And so we usually, when we get ready to go underway, it's we leave it like in the morning, early morning. But for some reason that day, we ended up pulling out later in the afternoon. So people are obviously working the whole morning. And then once we actually got out to sea, they started doing small boat ops where they lowered the little boat into the water, and they're going back and forth between the boat and to the shore. And then also they were doing, after that, they did flight deck operations. So they had helos flying on and off the ship, trying to maintain qualifications. So that's obviously, you know, a huge evolution that a lot of people are involved in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people that were doing those evolutions had to go on watch, because our watch cycles, the next watch after that would have been the 22 to 02, or 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. So these people were doing these evolutions up until, you know, 7-8 o'clock at night, and then they get to go on to watch at 9:30, 10 o'clock. And, you know, obviously fatigue is a huge, huge issue within the Navy, and I'm sure in, you know, the rest of the military as well.
Yep. And you had another really good point in your DM that I wanted to bring up as well, where you said, look, man, like if you have a ship that's three times the size of you and it rams into you, things that were in place are going to be out of place. And I had that didn't even cross my mind. Like it didn't even mm-hmm. cross my mind looking at it as a car wreck out in sea. Like my truck is pretty clean, but if I got into a wreck, some fucking Cheetos and stuff are probably going to fly out from underneath my daughter's seat. I'm not living in filth. It's just the way it is.
Hey, yeah, it is what it is. But no, you're right. And what's frustrating too is that they came on board after the collision to you know, make their reports and whatnot. But a little minor detail is that, you know, when we got back into port, they told us all, they're like, get off the ship. Everybody off the ship. We don't want you to be here anymore. Everybody get off. Because there's plenty of other ships out in Yokosuka that were in port at the time. And they had all sent over some people to stand by and wait for us to get back in, because they were going to come on board and take over damage control efforts for us. So as soon as we got back, they told us all to get off the ship. So obviously our main priority was not to go back and clean up papers and trash and piss bottles, kettlebells.
And tell them why the piss bottles were there. This is a big detail.
Yes, this is a big detail. So after the collision, we lost all power on the ship. So we lost plumbing, right? So, people had to piss in either in bottles. I mean, I was even pissing down the shower drains. You know, it's again, at general quarters, you can't leave your spot. You have to stay there. So for someone to take a piss in a bottle, that's totally acceptable in that situation, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
one, you cannot leave, and two, there was no plumbing. They had buckets set up and random plate and showers, just shit buckets. You know, there was shit. Yeah. In the sinks, toilets were overflowing. It was a fucking mess. So for people to piss in the bottles at that time, you know, that's totally fine in my book, and I'm sure other people can agree with me. But unfortunately,
anybody with a rational brain would see that's the definition of what we call majoring in minor issues. I mean, that's right. Not even an issue to me. Like, you have to piss, you're still gonna have to mm-hmm. piss. You might as well
exactly.
Like, at least you're not just pissing straight up on the deck.
Yeah, exactly. And you know,
headline, you know, 300 sailors have their dicks and vaginas overboard pissing out.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, that's the thing. They're going to focus on tiny little things like that. And what was really weird to me is it's 2019. It's been over a year and a half since the collision. So like, I saw it pop up on Facebook, and kind of, I was just a little puzzled for a few minutes there. I was like, why are we still talking about this? You know, why is it still coming up? And you know, and it's just frustrating, especially how they were just bashing us, making us all like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, that's got to be incredibly frustrating. Well, dude, we appreciate you taking the time and giving us a real story. And dude, if you ever, I can't imagine going through that with a small community and losing 7 of the 300. I don't think people realized how, I didn't think about it until now, like how impactful that's going to be for you guys for a long time. So sorry you had to deal with that, dude.
Right. Can I actually, one thing I want to say too, is I know you guys talk a lot about mental health, and mental health within the Navy, it's a big issue right now, because what I've noticed is that it's more so geared towards weeding out people that are kind of making shit up than it is to actually help the people that are really, really seeking help. Mm-hmm. I ran into trouble personally with doctors, because especially in Japan, there's one mental health unit in Japan for the large base that's over there in Yokosuka, and they're undermanned and they're overworked. So it's a big issue that I think people need to look into.
Definitely. No doubt about it. The mental health care across the board has got to improve. Well, dude, I don't want to say your name, but I appreciate it. Thanks again to that sailor for coming on the show. And like I said, if you come on the show, you will remain anonymous. I promise you that. This episode or this round, the next round is going to be brought to you by our friends at Kite. Are you tired of your vape always dying or losing extra pods? You need Kite. It's a new portable vape charger, a pod case that's compatible with dual devices. Whether you're getting ready for an all-day tailgate or an all-night party, Kite will make sure that you're always charged up. Kite gives you your vape up to 3 charges and holds 3 additional pods. Use a promo code BarstoolChaps on KiteCharger.com and enjoy 30% off today. Kite products are not associated or sponsored by Juul Labs. Round number 3, the football letter.
College football. That's the great thing about 2019. Even when we have played the last game, there is still always something to talk about in the college
football.
I can tell Kate is excited to talk college football. That is her favorite topic of all the topics we cover here on Zero Blog 30. But no, there is a letter that is circulating that was sent to Aloy Gilman, who is a safety for the University of Notre Dame. He started his career at Navy in 2016. He's from the island of Hawaii. Navy is well known for recruiting a lot of players from Hawaii, mainly because of their coaching staff and head coach. And he went to the Naval Academy and had a very, very good freshman year. And this is back in 2016. If you remember, we've discussed on Zero Blog 30 the whole idea of academy players being able to go to the NFL, and it was back and forth. Are they allowed to? Do they have to serve first? And when he committed and went to Navy in 2016, the rule was in place. Hey, if you're good enough to go to the NFL when you graduate, you can go. While he was there, that rule changed. So Aloy said to himself, all right, well, I think I might have a shot, because he had a very nice freshman year, played in 10 of 12 games, was a force on the defense. So he opted out of the Naval Academy and went to Notre Dame, where he sat out a year and then played this past year and had a very, very nice season and is one of the best producers for their defense. Now, the problem with college football is that some folks take it a little too seriously, as was the case here when Aloy received the following letter that young Catherine will read to you now. There's a lot to unpack here.
That was a fancy Southern man. Whoever wrote this was snobby.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
It wasn't a hillbilly who wrote that.
Nope.
There's a lot to unpack here. I mean, the first of all is these guys are just complete losers, because at the crux of this, these are adults that are berating a kid.
I actually think it was 6 better than women who wrote.
Possibly. But see, that's one of my big problems with college football, is because of how big the game has become and how commercial it's become, you have these fans that treat these kids as if they're professionals in some sense, and they have no problem berating them and speaking ill of them. And they forget that they're just kids going out there because they love the game. Because, you know, obviously there's a lot of talk about do they get paid, don't they get paid, whatever. That's a whole other discussion. But they're out there because they love playing football, and they're not trying to throw an interception. They're not trying to miss a tackle. So the fact that these guys would take the time to write this letter is just absolutely sickening, in my opinion.
I think if you use the term coward and you're not being sarcastic, like I tweeted last night that if Microsoft doesn't bring back Zoom, they're cowards. If you're not joking around about being cowardly, you're a fucking loser. Like, you're
also
a loser.
You know,
what's
pretty cowardly? That you don't sign your names on it.
Right.
When you just say 6 veterans and college football fans. Bingo. Sign your fucking name.
Yeah. I mean, what 6 veterans are going to be sitting around drinking a beer and be like, you know what we should do? That motherfucker from Notre Dame. Let's write him a letter. Okay, I'll write it. No, Bill, I'll write it. Fuck it. Let's all write it together. It's not the Continental Congress. It's a letter to a kid playing football.
Well, my guess is they were Naval Academy graduates. I can't imagine just random veterans would care this much about this kid. And, you know, they say like, oh, you know, you spit on the flag. He didn't spit on the flag. Listen, plenty of kids.
I think we're giving it too much saying z at the end. There's no plural involved. This is one person.
Yeah, okay, I find it hard to believe that six veterans. I don't even know if it's a veteran. I can see it just being somewhat. I believe the letter's real, but I don't believe it was from.
Maybe not. I don't know. I have a hard time thinking somebody would care about this kid that much, but maybe, I don't know. But you know what?
On the flag.
That's ridiculous.
Let's relax.
Let's reel it in.
Well, within his rights to transfer.
Well, that's my thing, because you could talk to every player on the team. You can talk to every coach, but playing football at one of the academies is one of those things that until you're actually doing it for yourself, you cannot fully appreciate what it is like and how you will react to it. And I don't hate the kid had a nice freshman year. He realized, okay, maybe I could play at the next level. And then they changed the rule. You know, not everyone is meant to serve in the military, and that's okay. We talked about a couple episodes ago how the people that we want in our platoon, in our fleet, are the ones that really want to be there. So for him to realize, and he has this option, as long as you don't start the first day of class your junior year, you can transfer without any sort of penalty. So he didn't break any rules. He didn't need any exemptions. He just decided the Naval Academy is not for me. I don't have that commitment to serve, and I'd like to pursue my education elsewhere. That is completely fine, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know what? Maybe one day he will regret it. Maybe one day he'll say, he'll be, you know, in his sixth year in the NFL and saying, wow, that was the best choice I made. So,
Mr. Gilman, if you do regret it when you look back, hit us up. I'm going to keep the return address of this fella. You can write him back and say, you were right, friend. I was wrong. I should have stayed and gone to school where I didn't really want to go long term. Let's move on.
Okay, it was me. I wrote that letter. Okay. I wanted to go viral and give us a topic.
Classic
on the show.
Trigger cake. Oh, unbelievable.
I knew it. Right. This reeked of you, Catherine.
Round number five, Space Force is being turned into a TV show, and how they are going to create it is with the mind of the beautiful Steve Carell, who is most widely known as Michael from The Office. Let's get into this a little bit.
And that was part of the trailer for a new Netflix series called Space Force, which is brought to us by the minds behind The Office, and will be starring Steve Carell. He'll also be writing and producing it too. I was thinking that it would be them in like outer space fighting aliens or something, but it turns out they're just going to be doing the show based around the people tasked with creating the sixth branch of the armed services. So it's going to be like,
Can you really imagine Steve Carell in like an office setting, like doing stuff like that and that being successful?
I feel like he's done it before. I feel this vague other sense that he's been there.
Oh, yeah. Evan Almighty.
Yes, Evan Almighty. That's the one. I knew it was ringing a 40-year-old virgin or something. He worked in a school. Anyway, I thought initially, I'm like, oh, they're going to be in space. Holy crap. But it is going to be pretty much like The Office, but on the admin side of the military, I think, as they try and go through all the red tape and all that, which, I mean, that kind of stuff, the jokes write themselves. If you've been in the military or you've been stuck in some sort of government organization, you know how ridiculous it is, so I think they're going to nail it. And this will be Carell's first TV role since he played Michael Scott. There's no release date yet, but I heard there's about 20 episodes that are going to be coming out on Netflix. So,
Oh, really? I assumed it would be a lot shorter than that.
I think they placed an order for that many, so I don't know. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, as you said, the jokes are definitely there. The themes, just the directions they could take this show are endless. But I do have a big fear that people, just because it is Steve Carell and it's in what it seems like very similar to The Office, people are then going to compare it to The Office. And I just don't think, I mean, The Office was a transcendent TV comedy. To try to catch lightning in a bottle twice and make that relevant and funny, I think is going to be a very, very big challenge. So I have a slight fear that it could, I shouldn't say stink, but not live up to what people are expecting, because I think the bar is just so high.
I hope the show opens and it's all the same characters from The Office.
Space Force, this is Pam. Yeah. All right, I think we all decided that's going to be the greatest show in the history of the world. Let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Kate, do you have any?
On a pretty serious note, my saved round, Wednesday, ISIS claimed responsibility for a deadly explosion that killed 4 Americans and at least 10 other people in the Syrian city of Manbij. The American deaths included 2 U.S. service members, a defense contractor, and a Department of Defense civilian. The U.S. command said in a statement, they also said 3 other U.S. service members were injured in the attack. So I think people are still waiting to hear all the names coming out of that. But yeah, pretty awful stuff. And I know there's probably a lot of families at home right now waiting for a word on how that's going. So just keeping my thoughts with everybody involved in that.
All right. Absolutely. Cons, any save rounds for you?
Yes. So as I've mentioned, I know I've mentioned this to Chaps. I don't know if I've mentioned it on here, but I've just recently started watching The West Wing.
The greatest show in the history of the world.
My goodness, it is so good. I am just captivated by it. So last night I went to a concert, got home. I had 1 episode left in season 1. So I said to myself, okay, I'll watch season 1. I'll watch the season 1 finale and then go to sleep. Now, spoiler alert, everyone knows the ending of season 1, there was the assassination attempt and all hell broke loose.
Yep.
And it was crazy. I'm sitting there, it's dark, I'm in my bed. I'm like, "Oh my God, has the president been shot? Has the president been shot? Who's got eyes on President Bartlett?" And then it's going nuts and everyone's scrambling and then they walk around the corner and then, oh my God, Josh is humped over. Josh has been shot. What is going on? I just need everyone to be supportive of me as I go through The West Wing now. It is intense. It is very
Stop hitting the table, Cons.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I just really, really had to make my point there. It is very, very good show. So, Chaps, thank you for finally convincing me.
T's and P's, Cons. Sending them your way, buddy.
It is. Can you imagine, Cons, going back to whenever that show first started and having to wait almost a fucking year to
that's
find
That's what I was saying to someone everybody. This morning. Yes, that's what I was saying. So the first season ends with the shooting, and then it just like goes to black, and you don't know what happened to anybody. And season 2 picks up with everything that it happens in the aftermath. But no, you're right. Like, the fact
and
that
they do that every single season, not somebody shot, but like there's big time cliffhangers where you can't turn it off. I used to have, when I first started watching it, I had the DVDs of The West Wing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like I had diarrhea fingers trying to change it so fast so I could get it going. You know what I mean by diarrhea fingers?
Yes, right? Yes. You're like fumbling all around. Like, yeah.
You can't control your belt buckle and you're just trying to get it off real quick and then get diarrhea fingers on me. I can't make it. All right, let's move on to my save round. We're going to get somber again. Sorry about that. Amped us up real quick to bring us back down. My save round is the badass of the week. There is an Air Force Colonel and Medal of Honor recipient, Joe Jackson. He died this week at the age of 95, and what a full life he led. He flew over 100 combat missions in 3 different wars. He was enlisted in World War II and went on to become a pilot and an officer after saving aircraft that caught on fire mid-flight. The pilot didn't know what to do. He turned around at Joe, who was a young enlisted guy at the time, and said, "You got to figure this out." He did it. They landed the plane, and everybody survived on that flight. Then he went on and served as a fighter pilot in the Korean War. And then at the age of 45, he volunteered to go to Vietnam. So he was a 3-war veteran in 3 of the most brutal wars that America has ever fought in. And it was at that time that he earned the Medal of Honor